Welcome to the Heart of Healing, the Pandemic Episodes. I'm your host, Tom Fold. In these episodes, we will meet loving, talented people who, while coping with their own pandemic stress, are offering others understanding, compassion, love, and ways to relax and heal, even under the weight of the current conditions. Listen with an open heart to those who, in this time of crisis, are opening their hearts and offering their talents to us. And today, our guest is Mona Chopra, who is an acupuncturist, a yoga instructor, a hypnotherapist, and who has said about her work that she feels inspired to support folks in finding sources of enduring joy that are irrespective of circumstances. Hello there, Mona.
Hi, Tom. So nice to be here with you today.
Welcome to have you here. And in these tough times, it's always amazing to speak to people with so much love and caring who help others. And I'm glad you're here to share your stories. Let's start a little bit earlier, though, before the pandemic. When did you begin on the path for these particular practices that you do today?
Well, thanks, Tom. That's a good question. I was actually introduced to yoga when I was 7 years old at a summer camp that I was sent to. In the Pocono Mountains, and even meditation from the yoga tradition at that young age. So that was my first encounter, and I was inclined towards the asanas, the postures, because I liked to dance, I liked gymnastics. So in a very physical way, I was sort of like, oh, I'm flexible. This is fun. But then, you know, life carried on. It wasn't a big part of my life, but it was there. And then it was when I was in my early 20s that I was suffering from extreme neck pain, and I began to explore alternatives. And yoga was something I had been studying, but again, more in this way of like the physical aspect. And then when my neck began to become troublesome for me, I felt pretty distraught that I wouldn't be able to practice quote unquote yoga anymore. And that's when I began to get introduced to teachers that were explaining and teaching yoga in a much more holistic way as a way of life, as a philosophy. And in that same time period, around 2001 to around there, I began to as a way of actually avoiding surgery. I was told by a doctor to have surgery for my neck, a neurosurgeon. And instead I began again to explore all these alternatives, and acupuncture was something that I went to, and it was so miraculously helpful for me that I decided to change my career completely and go in a very different direction I had been in.
What had you been doing, if I may ask?
Yeah, so I was actually a high school social studies teacher here in New York City.
That's a stressful job to begin with.
Yes, I would say so. I have the utmost respect for teachers. I mean, now especially, but always, really always. It's, I had studied the social sciences, sociology, political economy as an undergraduate, and it kind of seemed like the thing to do.
It is a wonderful thing to do.
It's a wonderful thing to do, but I had no idea. I think I was very naive in thinking like, oh, I could teach, and then that way, like, I could go to grad school in the side. And it was like all consuming. And then it's during that time I had these issues with my health and began to do these other things. And I felt like it was more of a calling for me. I just felt pulled in this direction of the healing arts and exploring these ways of reducing suffering on all kinds of levels. It was around that same time that I did my first sort of formal meditation training as well, in an 8-week program that was actually based at Columbia Presbyterian, which now the psychiatrist who started that has a whole institute of his own for training people. But at that time I was there in an 8-week meditation and healing program. And so that kind of got me introduced to mindfulness meditation as an adult, and just seeing profound benefits of it on my life in many ways. So Yeah, yes, so that's where the journey kind of, a big step up
of,
the journey.
Kind of wonderful, and you didn't need to have surgery on your neck, which is wonderful.
No, I know, so your grateful.
Neck looks, from here, it looks wonderful. So.
Thank you.
So what do you offer to people who come to you? Because you're talking about something very wonderful, to support people in finding joy in their life, no matter what's going on. How do you do that? What do you offer them?
Yeah. Well, people come to me with different kinds of pain and suffering, different kinds of distress.
Right.
So on one level, working with people through acupuncture, it's working with the energy of the body. And in Chinese medicine, we really see mind and body. It's all one. It's all a manifestation of the way the energy is flowing in our system. And so if there are blockages that someone has in their meridian system, the effects that they might feel upon freeing up those blockages, for example, could be physical as well as mental and emotional. So in maybe clearer terms, you know, in terms of the specific that you mentioned, that's where I think that the teachings from meditation and the Buddhist tradition are really, that's what it's really all about, right? It's about being able to increase our capacity to hold the difficult experiences of life without pushing and running away, without just grasping towards wanting some, you know, escape, but to actually be able to bear our experience and bear our experience with compassion and with warmth, and not shut down, not isolate, right. You know, I mean, we're isolating now for other reasons, well, but you know what I mean?
Yes, but here in isolation, or quote, you know, we cannot go out as much as we'd like to go out. How do we not shut down?
Yeah, this is such a good question. I mean, I have to say, as much as I, you know, could understand the addictive aspects of tech, you know, using technology, et cetera, social media in particular. But I think having the technology to do things like Zoom and participate in classes and groups and meetings in a remote way that allows for the safety that, you know, during a global pandemic, if we need to be stay at home and literally not see others physically, has really allowed for amazing warmth and connections to happen. I mean, I've really, really, I really experienced that. And I feel immensely grateful to this technology for enabling what I experienced over the last few months.
Would you be willing to share any one of those experiences so we could understand more?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So one of them was just that my full-time job, as you mentioned, as an acupuncturist hypnotherapist, I work with people in close quarters in person, and we were not declared essential workers. So I could not, go out and do my job basically. So I had all this time, right. Which usually it's my complaint in life that I don't have enough time. And it was like, now it's just oodles of time, you know? And
you said you don't have enough time. So now here you have.
Exactly.
Time.
Exactly. Exactly. So I actually started teaching these classes online. I started offering it kind of came. The connection is a little.
Yeah, it's a little off, but don't worry about it.
Okay. So during this time, it kind of came to me a bit, like it just came in a moment where I thought, oh, that's what I want to do. And I just started offering these morning sessions using the Zoom as a platform. I offered classes where I shared tools and techniques from my toolbox that I have learned over the years that I use in my own, you know, personal life and that I use professionally with others. And I just integrated these and began to offer classes that had some movement component coming from yoga and or qigong, some conscious breathing practices. Sometimes I integrated some of the tools from my hypnotherapy training. and then meditation and all the practices and teachings that come from the Buddhist meditation tradition. So I began to offer these classes on Zoom, and I was astounded. People came, and it was for me such a positive experience, because there I was in my little apartment in my living room that suddenly was transformed into like a community space. And it really felt that way, you know, I mean, in a very simple way. Of course, I felt like, okay, I want to make my place look neat and you know, and beautiful, because I'm going to be hosting a class. So it gave me a motivation to kind of spruce up my space, and but also spruce up my own energy, you know, just being alone. I live alone all day. I didn't feel like I was alone anymore. When I was teaching these classes, it really gave me this sense of, in this 1 hour, 1 hour, 15 minutes, connecting with people. And it was amazing, Tom. Some folks I knew from Europe came, from Turkey, were attending these classes. People who wouldn't be ordinarily be able to come to any classes of mine if they were in person.
And of course,
from, you know, from California, people I hadn't seen in years. And it was so nourishing for me. The feedback I got from others was also that it was so supportive, you know, for them to feel like, oh, okay, they knew at 10 a.m. they were going to tune into this class, and I knew I was going to prepare for the class, and to really feel that connection, A, and B, to share something, the teachings and practices that really feel very precious to me. That do feel like they are that's like what's going to help us through these difficult times. I feel the power of these kinds of practices is really the gold. And so it also, being able to lead those classes was a great support for my personal practice, because as you know, when you go into that teaching role, it's even more encouragement to really embody that, you know, as I heard myself saying those words, it was a reminder to myself too.
Right. Yeah. Well, yes, we teach what we have to learn also.
Exactly. Exactly. So I would joke with friends, you know, weeks into it, like, oh, this is the best, teaching these classes has been the best thing I've done for my own mental health through this pandemic. But it really, really was. And I'm continuing on the classes, not as I kind of did them daily for a while, like every Monday through Friday, every morning. And then I spaced it out, I think, to twice a week. And now I'm still maintaining it once a week, and I intend to continue. And so some of the folks who had been coming all along are still coming, and it has created a kind of, you know, community in a way, sort of.
Well, you know, what's interesting about that is one of the major things that everybody talks about, and I think is real, is we miss community.
Absolutely.
Community, we forget about it because we've got it. Okay, you have your classes and you have people coming in and out or wherever you are, and you go to an office and you talk at the water cooler or what you do.
Yeah.
But when that's taken away, we're missing community. As much as I love my wife, seeing her every minute for, you know, 24 hours straight, it's like, okay, is there anybody else here I can talk to?
Exactly.
So getting yourself in that way, by putting yourself out there, you also receive community, which is wonderful.
Absolutely. And I've participated in classes as a student, and I have felt the preciousness, you know, the real value of that experience. I feel like there's people I know who I've never met in my life, but they were just fellow students in a class that I attend regularly. And now I feel like, oh, I kind of know these people. There was a movement class I started to take. And now that I am back at work in the office, I'm trying to organize my schedule so I can keep attending that class, because it's been so meaningful for me, you know, and I feel very connected to the teacher and the few people who are in attendance. So So I do feel like technology, it doesn't have to be video, although that's an option, but, you know, phone calling, so helpful. You know, I do think these things are so helpful, and of ways of not feeling.
It's also,
sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just thinking also, when you say phone calls and such, before the pandemic, many of us were very, very busy and had many things to do and maybe didn't call other people, maybe didn't reach out.
Yes.
And do you find yourself in that now, looking at, I'm reaching out more than I was?
Well, I must say that it's interesting because now I am actually back at my office in person and I definitely feel the busyness of life has come back.
Okay.
But in those months, I thought, oh, wow, I called my parents, you know, at sometimes every day, sometimes every other day. And that isn't my usual habit, but pre-pandemic life, I would want to, but it would just be too busy. Life is too busy. I didn't get a chance. I didn't get time. And it felt so right. I just felt like, oh, this is, you know what, or if I would spend time talking to a friend, I spent half the day on the phone with a friend and I didn't feel that stress of like, oh my gosh, I spent all this time on the phone. Now I have all these things to do. It was like, okay, that was really nourishing. Like, this is life. What could be more important than our connections?
Right.
Than our relationships,
Well, now the question is, you're going back to life, quote unquote.
Uh-huh.
Where you're seeing people in the office.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not going to restaurants yet, and maybe you're not going to the theater, but you are back. And how do you think you'll be able to maintain your connections with others, like your parents, like the people you didn't call regularly?
Yeah.
Can you make time for them?
So that is my challenge, but it is something I am committed to. And I just recently did think to myself, Mona, you said that you weren't, if you were learning a lesson, it was like, don't, you know, have work be the sole priority, you know, or the top priority, where it's like the others have to fit in around that. And so I just have to watch it. You know, there's the pressures of living in this modern world and, you know, having a job and having expenses, etc. However, you know, call your parents. For me, that would be pretty important. And so I'm watching it, and I don't feel the same sense of spaciousness with time that I did feel, you know, for those few months there when I was at home full time, but it has shifted my priority. So I'm at least have an awareness. I can notice the habitual pattern there, like, oh, I'm going to fill all the time with any possible work. And this is not something I am proud of or recommend at all. It is, you know, it is part of my practice to be like, no, what else is important in life? And without those relationships, you know, it was the relationships and this spiritual practice that I have, I feel that really sustained me through those months.
Right. And now we have the challenge, when this is gone, when the pandemic is no longer with us, we all will have this challenge of bringing our spiritual life with us again, instead of losing it, forgetting it because, well, we're too busy, as you say.
Yes. 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 I feel like let this not be a wasted experience that just brought tremendous suffering, you know, on so many levels, but let there have been a learning to come from it. And absolutely. And I will say that there were some habits that I got into just in terms of my own practice that I have maintained, even though I am back at the office and it's busy and there's, you know, logistics to work out, et cetera. I hope that I do maintain. I hope that I do continue to give it priority. Yeah. And it was beneficial to have that time for things to also become more habit. You know, it's much easier to keep something up once it's already established as a habit. And so I do feel like there was a benefit for me in that way, you know? Yeah. It's a slippery slope.
It's a slippery slope. Well, also, there's something that you did in the pandemic. I don't know if you're still doing it. That is with the acupuncture to help people online. With acupuncture? Well, not really acupuncture. Acupressure, I guess. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Thank you. That was, again, such a gift in a way, a gift of this otherwise in many ways awful pandemic. But yes, because here were the people that I treat, my patients, I couldn't treat them. And so I began to offer sessions remotely where I would offer tools and techniques and practices that people could do on themselves, or if they live with a partner or family member, they could have that person actually offer them a treatment. So in terms of self-care, yes, I would be able to show people where certain points are on their body and ways, different ways that they could stimulate the points themselves, using acupuncture, using a kind of heat therapy, something called moxibustion that it was readily, you know, it was pretty available that people could use, using tapping, other, kind of tapping techniques on certain points. Of course, I part of the scope of my practice is offering lifestyle guidance, counseling, so that I could all do remotely as well. But the what was really new was kind of like teaching people how to give themselves treatments. And then when people were part, you know, had a partner that they lived with, it was really a beautiful thing, Tom, to be able to guide a person through treating different points on their partner's body. And I really had the experience of being almost in the room. It felt like I was in the room with them. You know, I remember once there was a couple and they were like, one was laying on the floor and the other was also kneeling on the floor to offer her the treatment. And I brought my computer onto the floor. And then I thought, why am I going to the floor? I can sit in my chair and guide her. I don't have to, you know, but I just felt like I was right there with them. And I think that that was brought, was such a way to empower people, right? This is, we don't need a pandemic to teach people how to take care of themselves. There can be, with something like acupuncture or these other therapies where you go to the practitioner, there can be a sense of like, oh, they're going to help me and I need them to do it. And here was saying, no, no, you have a lot of resources in yourself and it's not some secret professional knowledge that I want to hold tightly and keep it so you just keep coming to me, but let me share and see what are ways you can support yourself. And I think pre-pandemic, when there's the option to just come to someone and then everyone is so busy, are they really going to take this time to do these self-care, treat the points on themselves, you know, less likely. But I think it really allowed for this kind of unique way of empowering people to learn more about their own bodies from a Chinese medicine point of view, learn more about the points, know that in a moment, if something comes up, if they're feeling anxious, there are things that they can do for themselves. I also did hypnotherapy with patients, which can be easily done in a remote, you know, in a remote way as another support, you know, for a lot of, especially for a lot of the emotional distress that people were experiencing, right, fear, anxiety. Well,
do you see yourself doing more remote work now? Will you plan to do more remote rather than just go to the office?
Yes, I really, so I still am doing some remote work, not as much as it was in, let's say, you know, April, May, June, since I've opened my office, not as much, but I would really like to. And so now it's the, well, it's fall right now today when we're recording this. And so it's definitely something I want to do. I did not feel like it was a lesser cousin or something. Do you know what I mean? That this was just
Well, not only is it not lesser, I mean, when you talked, you had friends or people from foreign countries reaching out. You had people who were far away who couldn't come in to see you even if there was no pandemic.
Exactly.
So if you're talking about teaching someone acupressure or doing hypnotherapy or doing meditation, if they're far away, what a wonderful thing to be able to offer that to them.
Yeah, absolutely. 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 Yeah, it expands the scope of who can access these in terms of geography. And it allowed me to reconnect with people who I had treated years ago, who I hadn't seen in years. And then, you know, they were able to we were able to meet remotely, which was wonderful. I myself have been so grateful to have been able to attend meditation gatherings with different teachers and groups that I've been curious about, but that are even Brooklyn seem too far, too far away at times.
Too far.
So now it's like, oh, that's easy. It's, you know, I can just attend it online. So no, is it the same as in person? No, but it, on the other hand, I do think there are some, yeah, specific benefits of it and some, of course, drawbacks or limitations.
There may still be some of that today when traveling by public transportation has its problems in terms of the pandemic. So even though the office might be open, there might be people, I would imagine, who are not ready to come into an office.
Absolutely. It's been much slower. And I support people in their caution. Do you know what I mean? I think just take it slow as and when it feels right and comfortable and safe, you know, to come out, but there's no rush. So yeah.
Is there a lot of work for you in terms of preparing your office and being how you handle things so it is safer for everybody?
Yes. It was quite a, you know, process, but it's done. It's a new world. So of course now, as an acupuncturist, I'm wearing the PPE. So I have the face mask and face shield and, you know, constantly disinfecting. We are not having people waiting in the waiting room. There are all kinds of, you know, the CDC approved policies and procedures and ways of minimizing contact areas in the office. So rather than having people help themselves to water from the water cooler, like only the practitioner will fill the water for them. So not lots of people are touching it. Excuse me. Excuse me, Tom.
That's all right. No problem. Just drink a sip of water.
Thank you. Yes. The big thing is we had cloth furniture, which we had to get rid of and replace it all with furniture that could be disinfected. You know, anything that someone would come in contact with has to be able to be disinfected. So there was quite a bit of, it's quite involved.
Then the furniture will stay now. You're not going to necessarily go back to cloth furniture. And exactly. Also the protective nature of it might also stay. Can you imagine that down the road, let's say a year from now, that you might still be doing much of what you're doing in terms of protection?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking with a friend who said, you know what, Mona, we should probably be wearing masks every year for our elderly and immune compromised patients for the flu.
Sure.
And, you know, it's not that I really particularly like it, but I think there's a validity to that. Absolutely. I don't know when that time will come, you know, and just the level of heightened level of consciousness around, insisting, requiring everyone to wash their hands upon entering the office, you know, making sure every doorknob is cleaned. I feel like those are, you know, practices that probably will just become part of the way that we work.
You know, something you won't forget. And I think that's an important subject. What we won't forget when the pandemic is not with us, maybe it's going to be not with us, but not with us in this intensity.
Yeah.
You're talking about lots of learning, all of us having learning about community, about, you know, calling our parents or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and when this is past us, way past us, what kind of vision do you have? What things do you want to make sure you don't forget and that you hope other people don't forget?
Yeah, good question. I mean, you know, so on one level, I guess I want to say that I feel that the pandemic really made crystal clear the fact of our interdependence, the fact of how deeply connected we all are as human beings, that no one of us is separate. And I just, you know, I know that, and this experience just brought it that much more apparent. And so then what that leads me to is, like, what could be more important than nurturing our connections, you know? It also really highlighted the fact that everything changes in any one moment. We don't know. Who could have ever imagined? Who could have ever imagined this, you know? And here we are in this situation that seems so unreal, but it's real. So knowing that there's no guarantee that things are going to stay the same, what's most important? To just kind of live with those principles feels super important to me.
There is a saying to, you know, take it one day at a time. Mm-hmm. All we have is one day that we know of. You know, right. And tomorrow we may have or we may not.
Right.
So do what's important today.
Right.
And to hold on to that, because I believe, and I think I'm hearing you say the same thing, that when we were so busy before we had to stop, we forgot a lot of the important things, the contacts, the community, the meaning of life for us.
That's right. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And Tom, I would just add, I feel like a very important thing that has come out of this for many, and I know for myself too, is just realizing how much less consumption there can be and how we can really do quite completely fine with, you know, less consumption. And just because the stores are, things are opening now, it doesn't mean, oh, go out and just start buying unnecessary things. Because again, I think the pandemic showed us there's a connection between all of it, including our environment, you know? And so I remember when there was the whole toilet paper, you know, no one could get toilet paper. And I was like, well, you know what? There's whole, you know, countries that use water and do not use toilet paper. So I'm just going to embrace the water method. And so I remember I was doing that and it was great. And it was fine. And then I was walking, went for a walk once, and I was chatting with a friend, and I passed by a store and I said, oh my gosh, there's toilet paper there. And she said, you should go in and get some. And then I paused and I said, no, like, I'm doing just fine with water. Like, why reintroduce this additional thing that is, you know, just additional paper, additional waste that I'm doing quite fine in this other way. So, but it's now that there's abundance of toilet paper, I can see myself like, oh, should I just get some? Like, just go back to that other way. But it's like, I changed that habit. So maybe it's good. Maybe that's like one small little lifestyle thing I can do that I don't need to bring back. So I think also just less consumption.
Less consumption. And also you talked about the environment a moment there.
Yeah.
But we noticed very early on that lakes and rivers and the canals in Venice all cleaned up because we were all staying indoors and not throwing our waste into them. And if we could somehow remember, you know, to be careful about all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. I mean, the animals, and as you mentioned, right, the lakes and the sky were quite thrilled with having less congestion, less pollution, less industrial waste produced, all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of animals started showing up going, hey, where all the people go?
Exactly.
And they were enjoying themselves, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. The birds in New York City must be like, what happened?
Well, I think there are a lot of wonderful things that you've been talking about. One of the things that really got to me, and I just want to mention it because I hope you'll continue to do it, is offering people online how to help yourself with acupressure touch.
Yeah.
To me, that seems like an amazing extra benefit that you can offer to people. And that could be part of what you do, obviously. I'll take a small percentage of your fees, but I think that's important to give people their own power, their own ability to help heal themselves, as you do with meditation, as you do with yoga. It's very important, I think.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. It really, it And it orients the person towards feeling that they're not just, again, having reliant and needing someone else to come and do it, but they really are equipped with tools. And even if they come back, which is great, come back for the acupuncture with needles from a, licensed professional, of course, but in between those times, they have tools to work on themselves.
Right. Late on Saturday night, you might not find an open acupuncturist. You might need something to help yourself with.
Exactly. And I've been working with integrating the knowledge of the acupuncture meridians with hypnosis and guiding people through visualizations of the meridians, which has been just a completely fascinating and exciting experience for me. And I've just seen people have really powerful experiences in the process too. And again, it's something that people can, once they've gone through it, they can do it on their own. I've also recorded the sessions, and people have them so they can listen to it again and review it and call upon it when it's needed. But right, like you said, in the middle of the night or whenever.
Right. Well, it's wonderful that you have learned so much more to offer to people and to get for yourself. And as you say, we don't want to forget. These are the things we need to remember. And in case someone forgets and wants to get in touch with you, as we're just about to end our show here, how is it best for them to reach you? What website or email or both?
Yeah.
What would you offer?
Sure. I do have a website, and the website is peopletreewellness.com. So it's www.people, just like you and I, all of us, P-E-O-P-L-E, tree, like those amazing beings in the forest, T-R-E-E, wellness, W-E-L-L-N-E-S-S, peopletreewellness.com. And my email address is on there. It's mona@peopletreewellness.com. And my phone number is on there as well, which is 917-834-2124. And they're welcome to get in touch in any of these ways. And
Well, thank you, Mona. This has been very lovely and very instructive. And I appreciate your sharing with us and with all of the people who are listening today. Thank you very much for being here.
Well, and thank you, Tom, for what you do and for creating, for continuing on your podcast in this new iteration and reaching out to so many folks.
Well, as you say, and when you were experiencing the change in doing, this is helping me as much as it's helping anybody else. I'm loving doing it, to learning about people who are doing such wonderful things as you are, and just once again, making acquaintances all over again with people who I had met 5 years ago. So thank you very much. And thank the audience, everybody who is listening to this episode of The Heart of Healing, the pandemic episodes. And tune in for our next one. Thank you.